Welcome to the One Mind Dogs From the Dog's Perspective podcast. I'm your host, Noora Keskivari, and on this show, we explore personal dog journeys and uncover how we can become the best possible dog owners. From the dog's perspective, of course. I'm super passionate about understanding the dog's perspective, and with that, helping others to have a happy and balanced life with their dogs. It is always very inspirational to hear it from others, their journey with their dogs and learning more about the dog's perspective. Today, our guest is Tricia Myberg from South Africa. Trish is originally from Zambia with a strong bond to nature and animals. She started training her dog in agility 13 years ago with the support of online training platforms. She has a lot of super interesting stories to share with us, and I can't wait to hear more about her journey. Welcome to the podcast, Tricia.
Thank you. Thanks, Noora.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am an older agility person. I started late in life. I started with my border collie, Jem, 13 years ago. And he was just so sweet and eager and willing to please and did everything that I asked him to do. But he has a very strong personality and and he's also very naughty. So, but when he was on the field and doing things, he just wanted to go ahead and run like a demon. He was just fantastic. I really loved running him, and it fired up our connection even more, because when you come off the field after a wonderful fast round, regardless of what faults you've got or whatever he did, it's always just so exciting and you just filled with this excitement and energy. So he was the one that we had this connection and kept me going, and through many blood, sweat and tears and all the rest of the training, because I believe that a dog picks up your personality right from the word go. I'm quite an intense person, so I like doing things right. So he was then as intense and liked doing things right. But we managed to get through and we climbed the ladder quite successfully. Yeah, so that's my start, a really, really interesting start. And once you get started, then you go to trials and you find that you're sitting on the sideline with one dog watching everybody else. And then your turn comes and then you sit. So for 30 seconds, you have your turn and then you sit. So I thought to myself, I need another dog. So that's when the second dog came. And that second dog I got from Poland, from a breeder over there, Diana Elzuska. And she's got full of power dogs. I don't know if you know that the breeder's name, but Giza was a much softer dog and not so intense. And we had so much fun together. As I say, I really believe that the dog's personality fits with you, and they also have their own laid-back way or hyperactive way, and that's where you have to fit in with your dog. And Giza, I had all one mind training online with Jem, and I used that training together with Giza. And well, Giza was the one that took me to SA Champs. We didn't achieve greatly there, but it was my pinnacle with my Giza. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember like from the early days, from your childhood, about your first experiences with dogs, and at what point did you kind of know that you will one day have your own dog?
Wow. No, I grew up with dogs right from the word go. My dad enjoyed dogs and he had boxers. And my first dogs were boxers, and they are clowns. They really are wonderful personality dogs. But when we did move back to South Africa, we went onto a farm, and that's where we got border collies to work with the animals. And well, it fits with what your philosophy is, with your listening to the dog and the dog listening to you, because you use a lot of whistles and hand movements and things when you are asking the dog to bring in sheep or the cows or something. So, and then the dog always just followed me around, and we would got up to mischief together, and I'd ride my horse and the dog would run next to me. And so, yeah, a bit of a wild, happy childhood I had with my animals. And gosh, everything, chickens, pigs, sheep. Oh, we had lots of little lambs that we fed. And so animals are really big in my life, and they still are, because we actually live in the bush now, and there's a lot of wild buck and warthogs, baboons. There's a leopard or two, but we have to keep really good supervision so that we don't bump into the leopard. We have tons of animals, and I love watching them. And the bird life is terrific around here as well. Yeah.
Oh my God, living here in the isolated Finland with our not that like rich animal wildlife, listening to your story is a lot inspiring. If we go back to dogs, what's there in dogs that inspires and motivates you to keep on training with them?
Oh, Nora, my heart. I just look at them, and all I see, I have two children. I have two daughters, and they're old now. But raising two children is like raising dogs. And if you treat them the same way as you raise a child, and you nurture them and teach them and love them and feed them correctly, you just get triple, million, billion times back this the kind of love. And so I find that dogs are, sure, very much like children. Everybody gets very annoyed with me. How can you compare me to a dog? But I just say, but you know what? It's exactly the same. If you shout at a dog, you don't get the response back. If you shout at a child, they're going to be unhappy and be scared. And so it's exactly the same. And I find that dogs are so intelligent, and even possibly more so than children, because they can sense your inner feelings. And so if you're happy, they're happy. If you're unsure, then they are also nervous. I just find whatever emotion you're feeling, a dog can pick it up. So, yeah, I think they are just, and they will always be part of my life. It doesn't matter how old I get. I'm going to always have a dog.
It's funny that you mentioned the children and how they are same to dogs, because I also feel the same. And to be totally honest, I also feel that when my dog's puppy training app is totally perfect for raising up children.
That's right. Even the treats.
But especially when thinking about understanding how dogs learn, yeah, and how you can become the best friend to your dog and to have fun so that you both enjoy. So I think they're all the same kind of laws that lay there. What my dog's method is all about, the dog's point of view, and everything we teach is about seeing the world from their perspective. And as I mentioned, having fun together. And it's lovely in this podcast to share these real life stories about learning more about the dog's perspective and how that has impacted the life. Tricia, you have joined One Mind Dogs community some years ago. Tell us, how did you get started with One Mind Dogs?
Well, I was battling with Jem, and I really didn't know what I was doing, because I was very isolated in my position. I had to either travel to Cape Town for trials, and or Port Elizabeth. There wasn't any center that was close by me. So I just muddled along. There was somebody else that was interested in agility. So there was three of us actually that lived in Plett. And so the three of us just fiddled along and did what we felt was right. But with the perspective of the dog, you know, I kind of didn't notice it with Jem, that what I was trying to teach him, say he wasn't getting the message. So eventually the penny dropped for me when I thought, why does he keep on doing that? Why does he keep going out around the back of the jump? What am I doing? And I then noticed what I was doing. And so that became the cue for that obstacle. What do you call it? I'm not sure. Anyway, if I wanted him to go around the back. And so then I started noticing other things that I was doing. And I went online and One Mind Dogs popped up on my search. And I went in there and there were certain things there that I thought, my feet, where are my feet facing? Where's my shoulders facing? What am I looking at? And so that was how I eventually got going with One Mind Dogs. And as I progressed and we did more, I just couldn't carry on with you guys anymore financially. So I stopped doing it, but then I carried on training with your and also that little slogan of yours. Oh my goodness, a deaf dog taught us how to listen. Isn't that just brings tears to my eyes? It's wonderful.
Well, yeah. Such an interesting story. Well, if you think about going back to learning more about the dog's perspective, then what was the biggest kind of eye-opener to you?
Well, it was the fact that the dog had actually shown me what to do. And that was the whole point. So with all my future dogs, because as I say, every dog has a different personality and it develops at different stages and clicks at different stages of what you're trying to do. And that's exactly what it is. I try to watch my dog rather than what am I doing. So I suppose you're going to go, oh my goodness, I have like three different ways of handling because I've got three different dogs that all handle different. So as my learning has gone, Jim was that early beginning. Giza was the more of a foundation type of learning with you guys. And now Joseph is, I'm trying to put all of these fantastic things that I've learned from different people and One Mind Dogs. And I watch carefully and I try and put that forward for Joseph to learn. So I hope I'm not getting him very confused, but but I do try to do it more with the I can say modern way of doing agility, because agility has developed at a rapid pace on the speed, the safety, the obstacles. So yeah, so every dog learns at a different pace, and as you develop, your handling changes with the dog.
Oh, wow. Exactly. Well, if we think about dog training, there are successes and there are some struggles. So what do you think is your biggest challenge or hurdle that you have faced with your dogs? And how did you then overcome that?
Well, as I say, each dog has had its own challenges. So with my first dog, and I thought, oh, this problem, I can't remember what the problem was. I know it wasn't weaves because, oh my goodness, he can weave beautifully. I'm not sure what Jemmy's problems were. Oh, the contacts. I didn't do the contacts correctly with Jem. And so when Giza came along, I thought, oh, I'm going to focus on the contacts. And so I focused on one of those mistakes, but then I was making a mistake somewhere else. So it all comes together. There's been a different hurdle for every dog that I have had. And you kind of think, oh, I'm never getting to the end of this. And as I say, it's always blood, sweat, and tears. The blood part is from the toys and the grabbing your hands and scratches. And it's hot in South Africa, so there's lots of sweat. And the tears are the frustration when you can't get it right. But I think every dog brings its own challenges. So there's not one specific thing that I can pinpoint. But we do get there. We do get there.
Right. Well, now that you have experienced so strongly with all of your dogs, I think you will have also a couple of different highlights. So it would be great to hear that it can be anything like training or from your everyday life. But what are the top highlights of your life with your dogs?
The biggest highlight, I would think, would be going to the South African Championships in 2017. Giza was 6. He was 6 years old, so he was getting into his peak. Yeah, we went and we did it. We didn't become South African champions, but we didn't get into the world South African team to travel to the world champs, which was in Liberec in Czech Republic. But I so thoroughly enjoyed being there. And I haven't been able to get back to SA Champs because my next dog had a cruciate and she was out of it. That was Jessie Jane. So, and she still can't jump. So she's just a home dog now. And then I got another dog, Joseph, as a puppy, after I came back from Czech Republic. That World Champs was such an eye-opener for me. The people were so passionate. The vibe was incredible. Oh, I loved it. I don't know which countries. I think it was France and someone else, Germany. And they were on either side of the stadium and they had that song that they... Oh, goodness, that was fantastic. And all the things that were happening there and every day was just so exciting for me. So that inspired me even further. Oh, and even the dogs. My gosh, I saw everybody walking around with the dogs on the lead and the dogs were trotting like little ponies and they were so confident. And, oh, I was just in heaven. And when I came back from there, I decided I wanted to find a dog like that. And a friend of mine that's in Cape Town, Melanie de Klerk, and she was involved with a lady, a breeder in Israel, Sigaliens, and in Haifa in Israel. And she had traveled over to it's Croatia, isn't it? That's where Wisp was. And she had her bitch covered by Mulch Wisp. And Milani was getting Lex. And she said, Trish, there's another puppy. Let's bring these dogs out together. So I got my little puppy from Israel, Mulch Wisp puppy. And oh, they are fantastic. And Milani is actually our top handler, and she's going to SA Champs next weekend, and we're really hoping that she's going to be champ and be in the team to go back to Liberec this year. Yeah, so I forgot the question.
It doesn't matter. It was so inspiring anyway. But it was the highlights. So I think we got the point there. Yeah, but this is so well put, like, and described how the passion and the how the emotions are developing.
Yes.
in a special way when you get active with the dog community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's jump to another topic totally. If your friend is getting their their very first puppy now. What would be your tips to them?
I have said this many times to many people, but basically, the first thing is that you throw away your food bowl because you want that dog to be totally focused on you. So if you are intending, well, not even, if you are wanting to have this puppy as your very best friend, that's what I should say, then you throw away the food bowl and you just spend your time totally focused on your dog, and you treat him with love, absolute, well, I can even say respect, because that little pup is just looking at you all the time for indications on where he should go and what he should do. And yes. And so yes is a very good, always yes. And so I just think that you have to have a commitment if you're going to have a puppy and you want that puppy to be part of your life for so many years. And it is a long time to own a dog and to be committed to a dog. But once you take that commitment, I can go back to even thinking it's like a child. You don't toss your child out if you have to emigrate, or you take your child with you. And it's exactly the same with a dog. That dog needs to be part of that family, so you have to be committed. And I suppose that's the biggest message that I always try and get across to a new dog owner that wants to do the sport or just to own a dog. You must have commitment.
That's a true wisdom again here. Very good. You told me before about the wildlife and the animals and how that impacts you and your agility training and life with dogs. I think all of our listeners, including me, would love to hear more about that. I have seen amazing photos from that scenery already, and I hope to be able to publish a story about those. But let's hear, how is it there? And so, yeah, share us that.
It is the bush. It is a very isolated area. And quite mountainous. I'm just looking around at it. Hilly and wild. And then we have, it's 3,000 hectares on this estate. And the whole estate, you know, is available to us to use. So we do lots of hiking and climbing and walking. So I really enjoy the walking. That keeps my dogs very fit. We do 5 kilometers in the morning and 5 kilometers in the evening. So they don't walk off lead. They have to be on leads. So I have a belt with 5 leads and we go walking. So it's a hands-free kit and off we go. And it's incredible. The reason why they have to be on leads is that we have, as I say, warthog and baboons and buck that could be just around the next corner, which most of the time are just around the next corner. The dogs would chase them. And I can call them back. But the thing is when they come back slowly. But the warthog that they've just chased turns around and chases them fast. So there are people that bring their dogs here off leads, but there have been a few incidents where the dogs have got injured by the wild animals. And my dogs are too important to me to be able to let anything happen. So they're very supervised. And then I have the soccer field that is here for the staff to, they play games on it and things. So I can put up my equipment there. But every time we come, I have to do, I don't know if you've ever heard of chasing the elephant off the runways in Botswana, you know, the plane comes down low and chases all the animals away before it can even land. Well, I have to clear the runway of the soccer field before I drive in my car and I chase them all away, the buck, whatever there and everything. And then I park and I let the dogs out. So that's the space that they use where they are free. And they obviously, as you train, you take each dog in turn. That is our training field, and they have they love going there. And then we hike a lot. So when you're up in the mountains, it's quite a steep slope. So I also feel quite safe there to let them off lead as well, so that they run ahead. But they don't even run. They stick with me, and they're tired, and they climb. So we have a lovely life here in this. It's called the Mount Anderson Catchment Reserve. The water just comes out the mountains higher up and then flows down. There's 27 kilometers of rivers. So we have streams and waterfalls and lovely areas to swim. The dogs swim a lot, so they get fit. So I like to try and keep the dogs fit. And that's very important for injuries. As I've learned in the past, I've had two cruciate, unfortunately. Giza's cruciate was in a tunnel. It was an old tunnel, so it wasn't a non-slip tunnel. So he had an injury there. And then little Jessie, hers was just playing in the garden. It was a very odd situation. So I try to make sure now that all my dogs are fit and not likely to get injured. I don't know if I've answered any question there, but anyway, it's really beautiful around here and we love being here.
Well, it sounds like that. And being from Finland, where mostly we see deer and fox, maybe. I'm wondering, like, is it like, how safe is it with the wildlife there, like to people as well? But you feel it's safe there?
Oh, we've never felt safer. I'm not going to tell you stories. But my husband and I are taking our safety seriously in South Africa. And it is possibly one of the reasons why we've moved here. So we are, as I say, in a very isolated area, and it's very safe here. And the only things that, as I say, you have to be wary of, I mean, I've only seen one snake in a year, you know, so not even the snakes are an issue for us. It's a beautiful area. And I think it's because it's so isolated, the animals are possibly more frightened of us. So when they do see us, they go. There's never been an incident of humans being hurt by the wildlife here. And actually, yesterday evening, you know, the moon is so beautiful at the moment. We went for a drive looking for a leopard. We decided we were going to find this leopard and go and see where he is. Well, we didn't find him. We've only seen the leopard in a year twice. So, you know, they stay away. And we are living in a lovely home, and everything is just around us. So when there's a lot of activity, the animals do tend to go a distance.
Yeah. Right, so right. Makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Let's move to totally different topic. There is one big question I always want to ask from my guests here. If there's one thing you could change in the world to make dogs' lives better, what would that be?
Goodness. I think what I would be doing is exactly what One Mind Dogs are doing, which is trying to teach people, not necessarily from an agility point of view, but to try and educate people that dogs are more than a dog, and it has to be left outside, and it's not part of the household, and all of that is just I think that would be what I'd like to try and change people's perspective of what a dog is, rather than looking at life from the dog's perspective of training. I think that would be the thing I want to do, because there's so many people. As I say, South Africa is a large country with millions of dogs, and it is an issue because the poor dogs have, there's so much charity, you know, and rehoming and helping of all these poor dogs, that I think that would be my personal thing in South Africa to do, is to do that, is to help all these dogs. But it comes with training, and I think it would be in schools. So you have to train the children, or teach the children, to love animals, not just dogs, all animals. One man dogs are doing a good job in doing a lot of that, because you are very thoughtful on the way that you train the dogs. Yeah.
Lovely to hear that. Yes, indeed, it's powerful, and education is in the core for sure. Now we are getting to the end of this episode. Is there anything that I didn't ask and you would like to share with us still?
Well, I would just love more people to be involved with agility, and to feel the passion and feel the excitement of agility. And I would love the sport to grow in South Africa. So that's a very hard one. We do try to get more people involved, but as I say, it takes so much commitment and training and traveling and everything that I suppose it does scare people, but it is such a beautiful sport. And I think that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to try and get more people that are passionate from the whole world to come to South Africa and to inspire everybody here, and to train and to educate the South Africans in their agility that they're doing. Yeah. And I think I would like to thank One Mind Dogs for their fantastic programs that they've got. I really do appreciate being able to just tick and study, and I get up really early in the morning and I go through videos and things, and then I try and go out and do it all. So hopefully things will improve for me, and I wish that more people would do that.
Yes, and I truly hope that someday I'll also be able to travel there and see all that beautiness of yeah. wildlife. Yes.
Yeah. Lovely. Wonderful.
Trisha, thank you so much for being our guest today and sharing your stories from the wonderful South Africa and from your experiences. So thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. I've really enjoyed it. And thank you for contacting me. There was a reason 10 years ago to find you online.
Exactly.
Yeah, lovely.
To all our listeners, thank you for tuning in to the One Mind Dogs From the Dog's Perspective podcast. We hope you have gained inspiration for your own life with dogs and for learning more about the dog's perspective. Remember to follow One Mind Dogs on social media and sign up for the podcast newsletters to stay updated on our latest episodes and exciting content. We would love to hear from you, of course, as well. So tag One Mind Dogs and share your special moments with your dogs. See you in the next episode.